Governor Evers making a comment there on political fortunes going forward. What will those fortunes look like in the midterm elections? We welcome our political panelists, Republican Bill McCosken and Democrat Scott Ross. And hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. So, Bill, Tom Tiffany said Republicans got their butts kicked Tuesday night. How, in your view, did that happen?
Well, he's right about that. If you're going to win statewide, you need three things. You need money, organization, and message. Mom, we had no money. We didn't look like we had any organization. And I'm not sure what the message was. So I think we failed on all three of those points. And ultimately, it wasn't the worst Supreme Court election in state history, but it was pretty close. And, you know, Maria Lazar is losing her home county of Waukesha by 43,600. She got 43,600 fewer votes than Brad Schimmel did in her own county. That's a rough night.
Scott, was it about the money advantage for Chris Taylor?
No, because we've seen advantages before where, I mean, I've been part of ones where the Republicans had all the money and the liberal candidate didn't have any, and the most I saw was like, I think, 7 points back in 2013. But the fact is that this is a combination of a couple things. First and foremost, that the Republican brand is broken. The Donald Trump Republican Party has taken us to war. It's taken us into the poorhouse, and it keeps doubling down. And I would point out that, you know, in the same interview where Tom Tiffany said they got their butts kicked, he also endorsed, you know, Trump's, you know, announced intention to commit war crimes and every economic policy that he has pushed forward, including trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election, considering this race was about fairness, freedom, and rights. There's no wonder that the Republicans lost.
So, Bill, how big a factor is Trump in these elections?
I don't think the race was nationalized. I don't agree with Scott on that. It may have had something to do with some people staying home. I mean, the truth is they didn't know Marie Lazar. She raised less than $1 million, which is far less than Brad Schimmel. I mean, a year ago, we had the most expensive Supreme Court race in history, $115 million. This one combined was around $10 million. So people didn't know who she was. So I'm not sure that Trump was a huge factor in this race, but the truth is, congrats, first of all, to Justice-elect Chris Taylor, but she won 7 out of 8 congressional districts, including Tom Tiffany's.
And they went up 71. 71 of the 72 counties had a higher performance than in 2025 images.
So how does this travel into November?
Well, I think that the trend is irreversible in terms of the Republican performance in Trump's brand. And I would just, I just have to disagree, because if you look at past elections, you know, like, for instance, in 2016, where Rebecca Bradley, I mean, she won by 94,500 votes. You know, when there were 97,000 more Republicans who voted in the presidential primary that year, that's not even close to 20%. It's not even close to double digits in terms of the difference between the two. You know, Republicans have in the Trump era lost races were tons of money, the most money ever spent. They've lost when not a lot of money's spent. They've lost by double digits each time that we've had these things. It's just, again, the brand is broken. They are doubling down. The cult will continue. Tom Tiffany, Derek Van Orten, and whoever Republicans can finally try and get to be leader of the Senate and Assembly Republicans, you know, come November, you know, it's just a disaster. But again, Democrats have to do the work in order to get there.
Not a great correlation between spring elections and fall elections in the state of Wisconsin. If you look at 2023, Janet Protasiewicz won a Supreme Court seat by 10 points. 2024, Donald Trump wins Wisconsin with the most votes of any statewide candidate in history. So it's not a perfect correlation, but I would say it's a warning sign for Republicans, and they ought to take it that way.
So, Bill, what about the war in Iran and its repercussions at home?
I think it's having an impact in this respect. Gas prices are up, whether it's $1, $1.50, and people feel that. So the fundamental question that every voter has to answer when they go into the voting booth is, what's in it for me if I vote for X or Y? And right now, that's not great for Republicans. For Republicans to have a shot this fall, gas needs to be at or below $3 a gallon. And if it's not, it's going to be a tough cycle.
Yeah, 33% gas prices have gone up since Trump's war of choice in Iran.
So if that somehow gets resolved and those gas prices come down and inflation comes down, does it kind of revert to a regular cycle then?
No, because people are still losing their health care. They're still seeing ICE, you know, the Gestapo in our streets, you know, killing Americans who do nothing more than protest. Like, those things aren't going to stop. And the cult of Trump within the Republican Party, of elected officials specifically, Derek Van Orten and Tom Tiffany, who both, as Bill correctly pointed out, lost the congressional district. I mean, Derek Van Orten lost his district, or Chris Taylor won Derek Van Orten's district by 22 points. Eau Claire and La Crosse were nearly 40%.
It could revert to a normal cycle. Before the war broke out in the Middle East, the generic ballot was a couple points favorable towards Democrats. That's something that Republicans can and compete in and win in. Now it's 5 or 6, and in some polls it's 8 points. That's a much tougher environment for Republicans.
So, Scott, what about for Democrats in their splintered primary for governor with so many candidates?
I mean, that just means there's more coverage of what Democrats are talking about, because they're not attacking each other, not going after each other. It's the same thing from 2018. I mean, there were hardly any even contrast leveled in the 2018 primary for Democrats. And what ended up happening? Tony Evers upset Scott Walker, who was trying to win a third term and didn't. You know, I think that on top of, you know, not just that ballot, but talking, I'm sorry, to your question, not just talking about the Democrats in the primary, but what that's going to do for the down ballot, the state Senate and state assembly. I mean, we saw things like, you know, as some of the targets, the best target the Republicans have in the state Senate, Jeff Smith, Chris Taylor won his district by 30 points. You know, that's all. I mean, there's new meat on the table as a result of Tuesday night.
Not surprising, but a different take. There's 123 days until the primary. If they do not define one another, Francesca Hong will be the Democratic nominee.
What's the money race going to look like?
It's going to be very different this fall. Maria Lazar got no outside help, including from ally groups like the Federalist Society and WMC, who have always spent seven figures in Supreme Court races. This fall, the money will be there for Tom Tiffany.
And what about the money on the Democratic side?
Golly, yes, I think that the money is going to be there for Democrats because they have been an incredible fundraising machine for the last, since Wickler.
Thankfully, Wickler's gone. So,
but Devin's doing a good job of raising the money too. You know, again, Democrats need to do in order to win these races. It's not about outraising the Republicans. It is about a consistent, relentless assault on what Republicans stand for and how they are hurting the people of Wisconsin.
207 days to go. It's time to get the war over and get back to domestic affairs.
Okay. Bill McCaution, Scott Ross, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For more on this and other issues facing Wisconsin, visit our website at pbswisconsin.org and then click on the News tab. That's our program for tonight. I'm Frederica Freiberg. Have a good weekend.